All right, well, we've sung about the light, and now we're going to talk about salt. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus says. Now, to understand this, first of all, we have to realize what the term idiom means. Idiom or expression. You know what they are. It's one would be like, it's raining cats and dogs. Or, I got it straight from the horse's mouth. Or, you know, if that happens, I'm going to eat my hat. Or, the boss just gave me the axe. Or, lend me a hand. All these are idioms. And they don't make sense literally until you understand what they're trying to get at. So when Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, well, first of all, we need to understand it's an idiom. Now, the Oxford Dictionary of Idioms says this about salt of the earth. It says, salt of the earth is an expression used to describe a person or persons of great kindness, reliability, or honesty. I think that description goes right along with the Beatitudes that we heard last week in the sermon. But here's something that I have wondered about. Why does salt of the earth refer to a person of kindness, reliability, or honesty? And furthermore, what's so special about salt that salt of the earth is something that Jesus says we ought to be? So, digging a little deeper, did you know that salt of the earth is only written in the whole Bible just one time? Right here in Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. Now, by itself, the word salt is only written in 31 verses. That's 31 out of 31,000 verses in the Bible. So not a lot. And then when you take out the times when salt is used simply to describe places like the Salt Sea or Valley of Salt or Nibshan, the City of Salt, well, there's just a few verses left that have some deeper significance. Those few, however, are most significant when looked at in context. And here we need to remember, going into this thinking here, is that for us, remember, salt is a common and relatively inexpensive seasoning or preservative. But during ancient times, salt was very valuable. Salt was costly to refine, and it was expensive. Many steps were required to refine good salt, and it took special care to keep salt usable. Jesus also warns about salt that's not usable in this text. We also, going back further than Jesus' words, in Exodus and Leviticus, we learn that salt happened to be an essential part of the Israelites' offerings and rituals. It was used in recognizing and celebrating the covenant between God and God's chosen people. Leviticus 2:13, for example, instructed them, "Season all your grain offerings," which are offerings to God, "with salt to remind you of God's eternal covenant." So that's a key insight right there. To remind you of God's eternal covenant or God's eternal relationship. Salt, as part of this ritual, was an important component. So then, when Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth," we don't want to be thinking cheap table spice here or condiment. Because in that culture, salt had great religious and secular value. You History Channel watchers are probably already aware that salt has also been used as a commodity to pay soldiers their wages in ancient times, as well as purchase slaves. Maybe you've heard that other old idiom, "He's not worth his salt." You want to know where that comes from? Well, it comes from this. If someone didn't work well, he was not worth his salt or the salt that had been paid for him. Even the word salary comes from the Latin salarium, which, you guessed it, means salt. The word sail comes from salt. Therefore, when the people first heard Jesus describe them as salt of the earth, given all that I've just been saying, what do you think they would hear and understand? Well, at the very least, they would hear they are valuable. If they were called salt, they would hear they had great worth. You are important, Jesus says. You are valuable. Furthermore, they would also know that about the preservative qualities and the way salt is used in seasoning. They would understand how, for example, that they, like salt, are important in keeping God's work fresh. And they, just like us, would also recognize that too much salt, on food anyway, would ruin a good meal. St. Paul also talked about that, how too much salt can affect or ruin a relationship. That's when St. Paul uses salt to describe effective witnessing in Colossians 4:6, where he says, "Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone." Now, certainly you yourselves have met someone who, in their enthusiasm, perhaps, to share the gospel, has maybe poured it on a little too much, maybe turned someone off with that kind of enthusiasm. Well, that's not unlike what Paul's getting at here. Or, if we think about it in another sort of modern way, it's not unlike that old restaurant prank. Remember that one, where you loosen the salt shaker, and then the next person who poured it, all the salt came out and ruined the meal? Both Paul and Jesus are reminding us that salt of the earth people are people who show a lot of grace in their relationships with others. And that fits squarely with the Beatitudes that we've been reading. Blessed, another way of saying it might be, blessed are those salt of the earth people, for they shall be seasoning in God's banquet of joy. So let me go back now to when I first mentioned salt in the Old Testament rituals. I thought this is really interesting. Did you know that Martin Luther once used salt in baptisms? I found this in an early baptismal liturgy written by Martin Luther in the year 1523. 1523, that was just a few years after the Reformation began in 1517. So this was kind of early on in the Reformer's work, where he produced this liturgy where, along with blessing the child through water and word, the pastor was instructed by Luther to put a pinch of salt in the infant's mouth with these words: "Receive the salt of wisdom, and may it aid you to eternal life. Peace be with you." Every infant had the little taste of salt. Now, later that was dropped in favor of a simpler liturgy, focusing just on water and the word. But I was really intrigued at how Luther himself had used salt in this way, and especially when you can recognize this biblical connection with sealing the covenant with salt. I mean, we still use the sealing words, "You marked and sealed by the cross of Christ forever." Well, salt would kind of connect with that eternal covenant relationship. Okay, so this got me thinking, and you know, when you think, you start remembering things. And I remembered a time when I was in seminary, actually interning in campus ministry at the University of Texas in Austin back in 1976. If at the second service, I'll have to give a little nod to Michael and Joanne McGann, because that's where they met and were married in that same campus ministry center a few years before I was there. But back in 1976, Pastor Kurt Johnson regularly incorporated salt into Holy Communion. He did something that I've never seen before in worship, and I've not seen since. But what he did was, before distributing the bread and wine, and as students knelt at the altar, a pinch of salt was placed in each person's hand with the words, "Remember your baptism." They then tasted the salt and remembered God's promises. It was really a pretty neat thing. But kind of like Martin Luther's old liturgy, it's not something that was widely adopted, but still it was a really neat thing. Remember your baptism. Every Sunday they heard that. We're doing that now with our water here to remember your baptism. But you can see that even that was clearly connecting the Old and the New Testament with the salt and the sealing and the covenant, calling attention to God's original salt-sealed covenant. Well, we did this in the Campus Ministry Center every single Sunday during communion, except one. And that was on Easter Sunday. Unbeknownst to the communicant, sugar was substituted for salt. And I'll never forget the joy and delight and surprise on each student's face when, expecting salt, it was sugar they tasted instead. And when they heard these words, these sweet words, not just remember your baptism, but remember the resurrection. Through our baptism into Christ's death and resurrection, God makes great things happen in our lives. And today we celebrate that. We celebrate how God transforms unseasoned souls into salt of the earth people of faith. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus says. In Jesus Christ, this is who you are, not who you will be or might be. But by God's grace, this is who you are right now through your baptism. It's a wonderful promise where God invites us to live in that grace. So let me simply conclude by saying to you, turn on the light. Let your light so shine. Say grace. Pass the salt. Remember your baptism. Remember the resurrection. And share God's love with others. Amen.